you're showing, give me a thumbs up. Okay, good deal. This meeting is being recorded. Once President Brooks asks me to call the roll, indicate you are here, as well as give permission to record by verbally stating here, permission to record. All righty. I call the February 16th, 2021 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and open time.
Great. It's 7:01 p.m. Commissioner Gorin?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Here, permission to the board.
Commissioner Ludden?
Here, permission to record.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Here, permission to record.
President Brooks?
Here, permission to record.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Consent agenda items A through D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? Okay, no. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby? He's nodding his head. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. So, we will move on to matters from the public. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit comments to 3 minutes per person.
President Brooks?
Yes.
I'd just like to note that I believe we're going to give time after our beach pass presentation for matters for another matters of the public or for the public to weigh in after the board discusses it. So if you're here to listen to that part and you want to give input, you can do so after that. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Thank you.
Does anyone have any comments they would like to make now? Okay. Then we will move on to the financial report. 11 months of the fiscal year are complete. Carol will provide a synopsis of the reports.
Thank you, Lisa. Just to highlight a couple of things on the financial analysis, none of which really is a surprise, with the exception of the Watts Department, which is actually showing, as of January 31st, a $25,000 surplus at this time. Never have in the history of Watts ICE ever shown a surplus as of January 31st. So, yes, we still have one more month of financial activity to show. Typically, utilities are quite high during this time of year. So, the fact that we can perhaps break even at Watts is kind of an exciting thing. Rec programs, you know, are kind of just as we've always known the whole year in COVID. We're down our surplus by about $680,000 at this point in time. We did have some promising registration for camps on February 2nd. Almost $500,000 probably at this point that will show as deferred revenue as of the end of the fiscal year, but I think that was promising and very exciting to see that money come in for programs for the summer. Daycare, that surplus includes the $178,000 approximately grant as of January 31st. So, but still in the midst of a pandemic, we're showing almost $140,000 surplus operationally. It's phenomenal with all the restrictions that have been in place. Staffing just have done a wonderful job, so kudos to Jess and the daycare department. Other than that, I really don't have anything to highlight in the report, but open to any questions that the commissioners might have.
I just want to note that with the amount of season passes we have sold and the increased use of Watts, we are planning on keeping Watts open as long as we possibly can, which may add to more, usage and electricity and keeping the ice cold as we go forward. So you'll see additional expenses of that. We want to keep it open because so many people are using it and keep that going as long as we can. So
That's a good point, Lise. We budget actually a deficit of close to, I want to say it's $180,000. So even regardless of staying open and more costs, we're still nowhere near what we budgeted. So good sign.
Yeah, especially this year it's justified, although it seems that you always try to extend the season as far as possible. It's just that the weather always gets in the way. But I think this year maybe, you know, it's going to give us a boost and people need it. So, good.
Everybody knock on wood, because as soon as I said that, you're just going to turn around and be like 40 degrees. So,
I was thinking that. We won't talk about it anymore. Okay, if nothing else on the financial report, Dudley, did you have something you wanted to say?
Just a quick question. Any other impacts related to COVID?
Not really that we haven't talked about already before. So we covered a lot of that in our budget committee of the whole meeting on February 2nd. So nothing further to add since that time.
Obviously, Dudley, we're not back up to where we were pre-pandemic, but each passing month we're working that way, and we saw the camp pre-registration gave us great hope that people, one, are trusting how we're operating our program, and two, really want to get back into our program. So we're very encouraged by that. And as the restriction, as Bobby will talk about in his report, start to lift, we'll have more ability to expand programming, how many come in, and things like that. So it's just the same as that we have seen, we talked about prior.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think we've been, staff has been remarkably flexible through all this, and I expect we'll have some other changes down the line, too, as things open up.
Our favorite word is pivot. So we do that very well nowadays. I'll give you a prime example. Last, 2 weeks ago, they changed the fitness regulation, which we actually reported to the board, that masks were no longer mandated in fitness centers. And then last Friday at 5:45 or maybe 5:50 or 4:55, they came back and said, oh, you have to have masks on. So they constantly are changing their mind and, you know, went from one extreme to the other. It's kind of confusing to our customers sometimes. I think they probably think, what's wrong with them? We're just following the mandates that are put forward to us. So we actually really endorse that change. So we're happy to have that back. So,
yeah, makes great. People feel safe. So that's good. If nothing else, a lively discussion. Discussion on Glencoe Beach passes for 2021. Lisa and Bobby will initiate the discussion. And, of course, there will be an opportunity for public comment afterwards.
Excellent. So Bobby and Matt and actually the entire team with a lot of forethought and looking at our data and what we did last year, are presenting this plan for next year and opening up for discussion, because there's few decisions that the board has to make at the end of it. The decision doesn't necessarily have to be made tonight, but we would like it made by probably the committee meeting. We would like to get a head start on advertising what we're going to do for beach passes, because there is a great interest from our community to want to buy beach passes sooner rather than later. So I'm going to throw it over to Bobby and Matt to get this presentation. You?
Sorry about that. Can everybody see it?
Yes. We did before. There you go.
You see it now?
We're good.
Okay, great. Excellent. Okay. Good evening, everybody. So myself and Matt and the whole admin team have been working hard on planning for the beach for next season. We did a fair bit of thinking and analysis on what we experienced last year, and we want to present to you our thoughts looking at for next season. So first thing we really did was we looked at beach density and what that looks like. So we, using GIS, identified the usable space at the beach for our bathing side and identified 55,000 square feet of what we call usable space. Within that, you'll see there's 30,000 square feet that we identify as prime waterfront space. This is areas that people tend to congregate in or prioritize or try to get as prime space ahead of some of the more westerly space by where the boats are, the spray features are. So when we looked at that 55,000 usable square feet, and we used a density of 100 square foot per person based on feedback we received from the Lakefront Advisory and from other members of the community, we got a density target of 550 guests at once. So we used that in our models when we started to look at what the potential capacity and what the flows of guests would look like for 2021. Noting, looking at the data we got from season pass holders last year, 1,125 Glencoe households purchased passes in 2020. So that's just over 37% of all households purchased a pass. Of all of the passes sold, 74% of passes went to Glencoe residents. So 26% went to non-residents. So using some of this data, we developed a model for what 2021 would look like potentially for capacity. And we used the data from 2020, like I said, and then we used some assumptions. And some of those assumptions include, we assumed that the pass holders would visit the beach for on average of 2 hours per visit. Knowing from previous experience, daily visitors tend to stay a lot longer. We used a 5-hour visit time period for them. We also assumed that we did not sell more passes in 2021 than we did in 2020, so that's just over 6,000 passes. And we assumed that there were similar restrictions to 2020. Again, that there be no external camps, just internal Glencoe Park District camps. And then we picked an arbitrary number of 250 daily passes for the model. So when we did that, we were able to build out what capacity potentially could look like on this model here, an average weekend day. So this is an average Saturday, which is actually the busiest day of the week last year. So you can see the blue bar chart here. That is the actual attendance per hour in 2020. So we use that 2-hour time frame, and you can see here that the highest average at 2 p.m. was 137 guests swim regular passes on the beach at once. What we also did was we put in that arbitrary number of 250 spread out over multiple time periods starting at noon and added that capacity to see what that would look like for 2021. You'll see this green dotted line, hopefully here at 300. What that represents is using that prime waterfront of 30,000 square feet with 100 square foot per person. That gives us an idea of what the capacity in that prime area looks like. So you can see we just go over it at about 3 or 4 p.m. You'll also see the red dotted line. That's that 550 capacity based on that 55,000 square feet. What we also did was we looked at the capacity model for the busiest day in 2020, and that was August 9th. It was 89 degrees, and it was sunny. So again, we took the hourly attendance, and we can see here that the max number of pass holders came at 3 o'clock, just over 300 on the beach at once. And then we built in that 200 arbitrary number again, and you can still see here that we're underneath that 550 cap. So at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, again, it gets up towards those numbers. As you know, we did a pretty extensive survey to all of our pass holders. Almost 500 people responded. It is worth noting that the majority of them are residents, and these are only pass holders that were surveyed. We asked the question, due to COVID-19, Glencoe Beach was open only to pass holders. Did you like that admission was limited to season pass holders? Almost 90% said yes, 10% said no. A lot of the comments we received talked about how positive it was to spend time with your neighbors, the sense of community, the sense of feeling like you're part of the village, and there wasn't a lot of other community building activities going on, and they really enjoyed that. We also asked that we were currently assessing options for the next season, on which of these options do you like best? So 53% said admission only for season pass holders, no daily admission can be purchased. 26% said weekend admission is for season pass holders only, daily admissions can be purchased on weekdays. 5% said admission fees and season passes accepted during all operating hours. And then 15% said daily admission fees can only be purchased during non-peak hours. Season passes can be used during all hours of operation. We also asked that if you are wanting to keep a season pass holder only, are you willing to pay more? Because clearly there could be a financial impact of doing that. When we looked at it, 70% approximately said they were willing to pay 25% more, and there was even about 13% who said they were willing to pay 100% more. What that translates into, I really think that the 25% is probably more realistic. There's some outliers in there, but gives you a good indication of the value of the pass for people. So based on those models and what we learned last year, we came up with three real options to look at for the board and for staff. The first option was to do season pass holders only, again, so no change to the 2020 operation. There's an option two of doing season passes and limited dailies, and there's a correlation between the number of passes sold. More passes we sell, the lower the number of dailies we could do, and vice versa, if we sell less passes, we could do more dailies. And then the third option was return to pre-COVID regular operations, which staff does not think is realistic in this current environment. When we dived into option two, we came up with two options, of which really there could be a hybrid between either of them based on feedback from the community and from the board. Option 2A was season passes 7 days a week, daily admissions available Monday through Thursday at starting at noon. Again, we just picked that arbitrarily. We'd be open to feedback on that. And then there'd be no access for dailies on holidays or Fridays through Sunday. And the option B, season passes will be 7 days a week again, and daily admissions will be available 7 days per week, again, starting at noon, but there would be no access on holidays. What's great about these two options is it increases access to the beach for residents and other visitors, and also utilizes capacity and potentially increases revenue. So what would the admissions process look like? For pass holders, really there'd be no change to 2020. There'd be no advance reservations required. It'd be the same process as 2020. There'd be priority access and limited guest passes, which can be reevaluated based on the number of passes we sell. What the daily visitors would look like potentially if we were to follow that model, the number of dailies would be directly correlated to the number of passes sold. There would have to be advance reservations required per Phase 4 guidelines. Payment would be required at the time of reservation. We'd have to come up with a pretty comprehensive refund policy. We learned a lot from Watts that we could roll out into a reservation procedure for this, and we know that people have to have skin in the game and they have to pay ahead of time. We would also recommend rolling the processing fee of 5% into the cost for the purchaser, so we'll be on top of the daily fee. The great thing about this process will be it gives flexibility to staff to manage what capacity looks like. If we know there's a really warm day coming, expecting a lot of pass holders, we can limit the number of dailies, and vice versa. If we know the weather's not great, not expecting a lot of pass holders, we can increase the potential number of dailies and maximize attendance and revenue. There would be the opportunity for dailies depending, day of purchases depending on availability. We would use technology and QR codes to make links and available at the entrances to purchase dailies. So it would be kind of a cashless transaction. And we would also be able to take credit cards, but no cash to limit exposure for our staff. We would start daily admissions at noon, and those can be staggered every 15 minutes, every 20 minutes, and again, that time could potentially change. So the value proposition here for the season passes is you get priority access. There's equity. You could be must be a very high number of passes sold to potentially limit the number of passes available. So it gives people more access to passes. There'd be a residential discount for our residents getting lower prices. There'd be opportunity to buy guest passes again. And then there will be access to our season pass holders on holidays, so Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. We also came up with a pretty comprehensive communication plan because communicating this is going to be essential to another successful season. So based on what the board's feedback is and direction, we would look to amend this to try to come up with a very comprehensive execution of this plan so people understand exactly what the next season at the beach is going to look like. Open up to any questions anybody has.
We'll open up to the board first.
Do any commissioners have questions they did not have an opportunity to ask previously or have thought about something that needs clarification?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Bobby, you talked about a hybrid plan. What does that entail?
So a hybrid plan could be a mixture between 2A and 2B. So we could potentially change it that, you know, it could be Monday through Friday rather than Monday through Thursday, or we could stagger the time at which we could start taking dailies. It could be at 11 o'clock in the morning, or it could be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So really, we could be flexible between those two options. So none of that is set in stone. We're pretty comfortable that we could do a mixture between those two options.
Follow-up question. What's the magic of the 12 p.m. start date?
It's arbitrary, Dudley. We just picked it based on that we know that a lot of residents like to come in the morning and visit and leave before noon. So 12:31, it's depending on the flows, that's kind of like the ideal time to let dailies in our opinion.
It's very common in aquatics to give season pass holders priority for the first hour or two, usually it's an hour, so that they have priority to the spacing on the beach or, you know, where they would like to sit and for the non-pass holders to come in.
One thing I would say, it is very important that we would stagger those arrival times, because if we did, say, sell 200 dailies, we don't want them all coming at the same time. We would want to stagger and spread it out throughout the day.
But as you said, dailies, the data shows that dailies tend to stay, what is an average of 5 hours?
Correct.
So
Correct.
You're going to be working with this constant moving bubble.
Right.
So it's a very interesting logistics for you.
Yeah, and really what we're trying to do is incentivize pass holders. You know, they tend to come more often for shorter periods of time. They tend to take more care of the beach because they're there for shorter periods of time. They have more buy-in because they've purchased the pass. So really, and we also, depending on the weather, get that revenue up front.
Yep, all true.
What's the deciding factor on when they go on sale? I'm just looking at, it's either before or after spring break. I was just thinking as a parent, just because I know like this year when people come back, they're probably, a lot of people are going to be home schooling kind of with a big trouble. So I don't know what you guys are, how you're deciding that. I feel like maybe March 16th could be like you get a better response.
It's really when the board makes the decision which plan they would like to go to, and then as soon as that happens, we can start rolling out and taking our debt. I don't know if Bobby, you want to go to that last slide. From there, we work back to when we get the publicity out there. So if the board makes a decision tonight, we can start gearing up our marketing plan, make a committee, we can go there. Probably if you make it past committee, there's no way we can get it done by spring break.
Got it.
we have started to get a lot of inquiries.
Yep.
So we've added an email address, which is a capture email address is for people looking for information, and we just put that late on Friday, and we've had almost 30 people sign up for that since Friday. So we're getting a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's not even advertised, so yeah.
So, yeah.
We know there's a definite interest out there, and the staff has been thinking about this model for the last 4 months of how we can to make this work, and we're very comfortable with any of these models. We just need your input of which is more comfortable for you, actually. Do you want to go back? I'm sorry, Bobby, keep in making move back and forth to the options. So do you want to talk about it, or do you want to get feedback?
I'll give you guys my feedback because I think I'll be pretty concise here. I'm fine with either option 2A or 2B. I think it makes sense for us to plan for that now. You know, obviously I think everyone wants, you know, I want my kids to go back to school full time. I want people to buy airline tickets. I want the world to go back to normal. So my heart is option one, but that doesn't make sense, I think, at the time if we're going to have to announce something for May, which is, you know, only 3 months away. It's not that far. And considering that Fauci just said today that he doesn't think everyone's going to get back until July, you know, the timeline moves on. So I'll be short and sweet. I like either 2A or 2B. I can go either way. The idea of giving some people options, but certainly heavily incentivizing season passes, I think, is a great way to go. I've been saying that for over a year now.
Thank you, Michael. Stephanie, are you ready to weigh in?
I've gone back and forth with option 2A or 2B just because some people, you know, won't be able to come during the week. So, and because we have that flexibility on how many dailies are available, I kind of like option 2B, but I think, you know, whatever the staff is more comfortable with, I would be okay with this year. I think, you know, next year, definitely, like, option 2B would be better. But for this year, I know that that might not be preferable.
I guess I will say I think you folks are victims of your own success. You had a very successful year, and you had very positive feedback. So option one, you know, jumps out like, ooh, you know, this would, we'll just do what we did last year. But obviously, A and B, both of them look fine to me. I would say that I would lean towards 2A because I think we have to give a value to this beach pass. And that is more of a distinct value to the beach pass as opposed to the option 2B. I don't think we can have confidence that we're going to have as rip-roaring of a season pass season if we don't make it clear that there's a distinct advantage, a very distinct advantage to having a season pass. So I also think it allows us to kind of accommodate this, you know, accommodate something that wasn't as rigid and strict as last time, allows people who either cannot or will not buy a season pass, because it's an investment, but allows them an opportunity to enjoy the beach, but still acknowledges that people do like this community-based beach experience, and they have an advantage if they're going to invest in a pass, because you don't know what the weather's going to be like, and you really don't know what your kids are going to be doing, so you are taking a risk when you buy that season pass, and I'd like it to be continue to be a really popular thing in Glencoe. I think that was a huge win for last season. So I guess, you know, either one is fine, but I would prefer 2A. Even if there's an accommodation where we say, maybe rather than Friday through Sunday, we do Saturday, Sunday, I mean, I forgot what the data shows, Bobby, for Fridays, if they really are, if the weather's good, it's really as busy as the weekend.
So I can pull up to kind of show you what the daily, so you can see the attendance there. On the right, the daily average daily attendance, you can see Fridays are just hovering at 478 last year in terms of the average dailies. By Saturdays was 597. So you really see our lower attendance days are Monday through Thursday traditionally. So that's kind of what impacted that decision. But again, we're open to it. We can be very flexible, or we can limit, you know, we could do Monday through Thursdays X, and then on the Friday we could do half that number again. So we're not going to publish how many dailies are available.
Right. And maybe give staff a little more flexibility to take advantage of this opportunity, midweek opportunity, to get some people on the beach. Josh.
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate the opportunity to talk through some of this with staff beforehand and, you know, answered and any of my questions and gave my feedback. I do, upon reflection, find it at least worth the board's discussion, given the overwhelming feedback that people would prefer passes only. To add dailies in, we better be careful. Because I do appreciate the desire for more revenue, but I also appreciate that we don't want to wreck what, you know, got extremely positive feedback last year. So having said that, if staff feels like doing dailies provides some risk mitigation, in case pass sales are not what we expect, and the ability to maybe better utilize capacity during the week, I would support 2A. Bobby, I like your idea of maybe making it Monday through Friday, but limiting the number of dailies available on Friday to a smaller number. Just because I think it's easier to communicate weekdays than Monday through Tuesday.
Yep.
I would like to know, because I think Michael brought this up when we were meeting with him, that the survey, while it had great results, it was only with season pass holders. So is it skewed because it didn't go out to the whole community? We'll never know, right? So I just like to know that, too.
Yeah, that's fair, Lisa. I would add to that, though, that part of the way I feel the way I do about the season last year, the feedback that I just received directly from residents.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. Dudley, I don't see you, but I know you're there.
I'm here. I like the 2A option with the Friday extension as well. It seems like the beach is underutilized during the week, and I also think it's easier to communicate weekday versus the weekend. And I think our clients, our residents, would like to have the weekends for themselves. So I think, at least at this point, that's good. It's going to be a bit of a management challenge. You could actually do 2A. With 2B, but you'd have to manage it very, very carefully. So I think it's better to be simpler and have something that just can be managed more easily. So give that for serious consideration.
Hey, Dudley, just for the record, it's not a resident or non-resident. It's a pass holder versus non-resident.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It is a pass holder. Yes. Yes, that's good.
Very correct. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you. That's a good...
It's confusing because residents are more likely to be season pass holders because they're invested, they're close by, that kind of thing. So there's an overlap there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Lisa,
I just want to note also that we want to make a decision and make it right the first time and not go back. So, for example, we can't go, oh, wow, no one's going on weekends. We really should set dailies. We really can't do that. Once we make a decision of what we're going to advertise for season pass, we have to stick that through the season. So we have more flexibility, and not that I'm advocating either one, but if we say no, if it's a great sales pitch to say, okay, we're going to sell our season passes and have only season passes on the weekend, we cannot change it halfway through and say, okay, we're going to let dailies in now. And the flexibility flexibility for 2B is that if we say season passes have priority, but we may sell some dailies and not tell everybody what the dailies are, if it gets really busy and we don't sell dailies, that kind of loses the incentive to buy it. Maybe loses incentive to buy a season pass if you want a weekend. But so I just wanted to put that out there. Once we make a decision, we can't go back and say, oh, let's sell dailies now halfway through the season if they don't show up. I also think the no holidays, that's a really nice season pass perk, because then you really do get to spend it with the people that you see all season, season pass resident and non-resident guys out there. So to muddy the waters even more, just put it out there.
Well, if you just run through, I'll just quickly, so Lisa, you have, and Bobby, you have what you need. I'll just start out. I'm good with 2A, and maybe we could just go through everybody.
And I'm good with 2A.
Dudley?
Hey.
Stephanie? Michael?
2A or 2B. I'm okay with both.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is 2A Monday through Friday.
Yes. However, perfect. It is now time to entertain public comment.
Yes.
So,
do you want to pull down the slide presentation at this point so we can see who's... There we go. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very good. Cheers. Yes. Mr. and Mrs. Lerman.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to... public comment. I thought that the analysis that staff did was excellent. Analyzing solvency density is really the issue here, regardless of whether COVID's here or not. It's about how the beach environment is. So hopefully we kind of keep it, you all keep the density bogey in mind even after COVID is out. I just got a couple of questions. I'm curious that, so many people wanted a like the season pass. I'm curious as to what impact on the consumer behavior would have if you started to offer dailies. Would the number of season passes go down? Because people say, I don't need to buy season pass anymore, I can just buy dailies. And perhaps one way that could be mitigated is how you promote and price those dailies. I've always thought the daily price, particularly for non-residents, is way too low by 50% to 75% of the season. The daily rate for non-residents, in my mind, $25, $30 would be a fair price considering the value they get, plus all the money that the park district is spending on capital improvement projects that residents are paying for through the property taxes. So a much steeper daily fee would be one way to kind of add value to the season pass, which economically would be a much better deal. And then also, just as it's marketed, just mentioned, but for people having to reserve that in advance, timestamp, and marketing that'll be available on a limited basis. So it's there, but it's not, and it must be purchased in advance. To put some barriers around purchasing it, plus increase the price point. The people who really want to go and see the value are going to pay for that, which is great. And those are potential future season pass holders anyway. And the ones that don't, let them go to Kenosha or wherever where the beaches are free. So. Anyway, those are my thoughts. And by the way, just one more thing. Staff did a great job last year. Oh, my God. Bobby, Matt, Chris, you guys went through two plagues of biblical proportions and came out smelling like a rose. The community was really thankful for everything you guys did on the beach, and I'm very thankful.
Very thankful.
So anyway, thank you guys for what a great job you do and a great analysis. I thought this analysis was top notch. So thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Andre and Janet. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on the beach discussion? Okay.
All right.
Very good. And we will take your comments under advisement. Thank you very much, Andre. Okay. Then moving on, we will move on now to staff reports, and beginning with business, and that is, again, Carol.
You're muted.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. Just really nothing further to add than what's already listed in my division report. We're coming up on the busiest time of the year for the business office, really end of fiscal year, passing of the budget, audit, and kind of the next 2-3 months are just all the legal stuff that has to get done by the Park District. So nothing further really to add to that, unless anybody has any questions.
Anyone? No? Okay, then on to recreation and facilities, Bobby.
Great. As Lisa said, you know, we're continuing to change as we get more guidance and things evolve. There's a lot of frequently asked questions coming out from the state, which is giving us a little bit more guidance, and we'll continue to adopt those. And Lisa said we have now masks in the fitness center, so now re-educating people that masks are required after telling them there weren't. So we'll keep working on that. Adam is back from paternity leave. Big thank you to Shannon, who covered all of Adam's responsibilities while he was gone, so she did a great job. It seemed like when he left, it started snowing, and when he came back, it was still snowing. So we had a massive amount of snow for the last month. We are looking to extend the season. We're watching the weather carefully. It doesn't look like it's going to be in the 40s until the first week in March right now, and that's an extended forecast. So we will hope to keep the rink open as long as we can for our pass holders. The family nights at Watts have been extremely popular, even with the cold weather. And we've got another one coming up at Disney this Friday. So people are loving that. Camp enrollment has been very strong. This year we rolled out a $150 deposit options for families, given with COVID. We didn't want them to have to make a big purchase up front. So Carol and her team did an unbelievable job coming up with the technology behind that to take deposits, which we haven't been able to do before. And a significant portion of Camp Adventure, Action Quest, Sun Fun, and preschool camps took advantage of that. So the camp revenue is exceptionally strong. We are pretty much waitlisted in every single camp, and we are looking at ways to maximize space. We're thinking outside the box. Matt was able to extend sailing and aquatics by an additional 10, and that filled again. So it's great to see the demand there for our programs. It is worth noting, too, we're only offering the 8 and 4 week options for those traditional camps. And if we are able to expand capacity and have the ability to, we'll offer shorter sessions. But right now, we're still at that 4 and 8 week session. Anybody got any questions for my report for me?
Bobby, it's not your content per se, but I was wondering if you would be willing to elucidate for us the tier one or tier three, two, one, phase four, five. Like, you guys use these terminology all the time, and I think it would behoove at least me to understand how all these things are related.
Okay. Sure. So we kind of put it in there for the record, actually, just to state where we were at a certain time, because believe it or not, it's quite hard for us to remember where we were at certain times. So originally, the governor came up with a phase 1 through 5 plan to restore us back to regular operation in the state. And 5 is effectively go back to normal, back to full in-person school. That's kind of where, once we're at phase 5, normal school begin. So in the summer, we had our emergency daycare, which opened up in tier two. In phase two, then we went to 3, and then we went to 4. We stayed in 4, and they didn't want to go backwards. So instead of going backwards, they added in tiers. So instead of going left to right, they actually probably went up tiers, severity of mitigation. So
okay,
the tiers are all part of phase 4. So they didn't want to go back from phase 4. So it was basically a stricter version of phase four. Now, so we, when we were full kind of back in December, it was tier three. We have now removed all of the tiers and we are just back to our regular phase four operation. So that allows for indoor programming, limited groups, but it allows us to be inside, which is great.
That so tier three is the most was the most restrictive, and then tier two and then tier one, regular.
Correct. Correct.
Yes, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Any other questions for Bobby? Okay. All righty then. Moving on to marketing and communications, Erin.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of success online. If you can see on the chart in my packet, I put little dots on anytime we have an email blast or activity happen, and you can really see the traffic drive, which has been really exciting to see. As Bobby mentioned, we did put something up on the beach. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. These are working. And without any advertising, we've really gotten a great start of an email list going for people interested in beach pass sales once they start. So once you guys give us the go-ahead, we're going to start advertising that.
Pretty good. Thank you.
Anything for Erin? Okay, then, Safety and Wellness Committee.
What
actually,
happened to Chris?
Can we go back to parks?
Oh, wait, did I miss? Oh, my God, Chris.
That's okay.
Literally, I miss you every single time. I'm so sorry. I don't know what is wrong with
me. It's not personal, Lisa. Okay.
It must be. I am so sorry. Okay, wait, but we're going to backtrack, Lisa. You want to backtrack to something?
Just to parks.
Oh, just
yeah.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Parks and maintenance. I don't know why I skip that every time. I really am sorry. Parks and maintenance, Chris.
I'm going to put it after marketing from now on, so that way.
And I do really am most interested in the market. My apologies, Chris. Go ahead.
Good evening, Lisa. Well, as I noted in my report, you guys haven't figured it out. It's snowed a lot. So, operationally, the team has really been focused on snow removal, keeping sites open, available for use. Snow removal operations are typically starting right now around 2:45 in the morning, wrapping up around 2 or 3 p.m. We're running two, even three shifts on some days. We're just really fortunate that for being a small team, we're very well equipped. So you've seen a lot of equipment out in the community. We've actually been able to assist the village in some locations, opening up fire hydrants, intersections, things like that. I mean, because we're configured for earth moving. So it's been a great partnership. Staff has really been very, very busy, and there's just been a lot of really positive feedback in the community about the fact that our facilities are open and ready to go at 5:30 in the morning after pretty significant snow event. So outside of that, we're working on preparing for the spring season. I know that it sounds, you know, crazy, but really mid-March is only a month away. That's the point where people are going to go from complaining about snow to complaining about flooded parks. So we're preparing to kick off our spring athletic season by maintaining our equipment, things of that nature. In addition, we have significant moving projects out on a number of different bids right now. We've had a pretty aggressive bid timeline. We've had a great team working on these projects between our administrative team in the Park District, CBEL, Ultima New, Bower La Tosa. So we've got quite a few bids coming to the board for approval in the next 3 months. Asphalt work, conservation, there's several bids on the agenda this evening. So it's been great to work on the three-year plan and really just be able to move forward aggressively with that now that we've secured funding. In addition, we're wrapping up the recruitment to fill our vacant full-time position. As you know, we froze the full-time position in the Parks Department held by Adam Zicker when he left the district during the pandemic. And now that we're moving into the new fiscal year, we will be filling that position. So we're excited to bring a new team member on as well. Staff just completed the installation of the new Tachim flooring. So we worked with the contractor. We got the space cleaned and prepped and ready to go for them. We painted. We were able to do some demolition, some repairs to the walls in there. So all in all, it was a great partnership, and we were happy to get it done based on the circumstances. So any questions?
it was very interesting, Chris. I do appreciate your presentation. Thank you. Okay, then on to safety and wellness, Carol and Chris again.
Chris, why don't you just keep going?
Those. You know, it's interesting. We're working with Federma. Federma is really trying to reinvent themselves based on the pandemic and really kind of redefine the service that they're providing to us, the membership, because they know that members are in so many different places. We have members like the Glencoe Park District that are open and ready for business, and then members that are still slowly spooling back up based on the fact that they're very facility-heavy districts and they haven't been configured like us. So just working with Federma to kind of help them to redefine that, because as far as a district goes, we're on the end of being open and ready to go versus other districts, so we've been sharing that information and that knowledge. In addition, we're working with Federma to provide a dollar assessment value for insurance purposes to the park district's inventory, facilities, parks, infrastructure, things like that. So Federma has been very busy during the pandemic, and they have continued to work with us on those areas. So, thank you.
Thank you, okay, no questions on safety and wellness. Then we will move on to Lisa's executive director report.
Great. I just like to want to reiterate how proud I am of the team, because when other agencies in town are closed, we're open. So Chris and his team are out there early, and then we have our children's circle and kids club programs going, and teachers are making their way in, and we're up and ready for business at the start of children's circle this morning, and the front desk was all ready to go, and the fitness center was open. So very proud of that. Everybody works as a team to make sure that happens, and like I said, when everybody else is closed, we're open. So we continue to do that, provide that service for the community. We already went over the COVID-19 restrictions, so very nice summary, Bobby. I just wanted to say that I want to applaud the Watts team, and Jan, and I don't think Shan's on tonight, probably finally took a day off. Did really do a great job jumping into Adam's shoes for a little bit, and going into the rink, and doing the great special events. And I believe Ann's on the call tonight, and Ann Scheuer, I'm sure a lot of you know her, if you go to Watts, has been smiley face at Watts and helping with special events too. So kudos to all of them, and we're going to keep that up as long as we can, and keep that going strong. What I've been doing this last week or two is working with other park district directors to get our park district listed as a 1B or 1C for vaccinations. We believe we're essential services, and our district's a little different than other districts. We actually do majority of our staff are 1B because we all touch Children's Circle in one way or another. But we also believe that other park districts that have bigger, that maybe don't have daycares and touching, are also essential. So we've been working with our legislators and the health department to get us classified in that way. I've also been working very much with the health department, the village, and the school district on getting our staff vaccinated, and we're doing everything we possibly can to get our children's circle and our ELC and our kids club teachers and the support staff that go along with them, and that would be Chris's guys and girls, all vaccinated so that we can keep on offering this service. So we've been very successful with a lot of ingenuity on our team, which means if we hear there's openings, we have 10 people on the computer registering our children's circle teachers for that. So it's been a combined effort, and it looks like we made great headway with getting the beta site up and running for New Church Township. So it looks like we'll be able to get all the other teachers that want to be vaccinated. It is optional at this time, and we're making, by next week, I think we'll have that complete. So very happy about that, and then hopefully when we get it, once we get the rest of our team vaccinated. So we'll be working hard on that. The budget, we've already talked about, I'm not going to say that. In your board package is our strategic plan and initiatives. As you know, it goes along with our strategic goals. So staff is working on their goals right now that line up to our roadmap for the next 2 to 3 years. So if the board has any additional goals they want to add or have us consider, please let us know. But that this document right here, the roadmap, is pretty much what we're following, developing initiatives off of that, and then individual team goals. So we're busy doing that.
also this month to go with our evaluations. We are also doing a staff survey that will go out early March. We have decided to wait till early March after the evaluations are complete. Sometimes evaluations get skewed if they think there were four evaluations that they'll be able to find out who they are and it might affect their evaluation. So the evaluations will be done first, and then we'll do the employee surveys, and then we'll do that yearly. And then do another survey for our seasonal staff this summer. We are developing another team within the district, and this will be in our goals. It's called the IDEA team. It stands for Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Acceptance. Liz Stoic has volunteered to be the team leader of that team, and then we're looking for volunteers from our full part-time staff to serve on that committee. So we're excited about that. Moving forward, we also have our safety team. We also have our green team, our sustainability team. So we're looking to shake all those teams up and bring in two team leaders and new team members from all across the district on those teams. And what we plan to do is report back to those quarterly. So the safety team will go. The safety update will go off our agenda, and it'll come quarterly for each of those teams to report back to the board on what their decisions are. So we're excited about that. So you'll see that as a new goal this year. Very proud of NSSRA and the support they've had, their foundation has had with the new building. So if you pass by on Lake Cook, you'll see the new NSSRA facility sign has gone up. Construction is starting in that building. They raised over $2.1 million to outfit the programming space in there. So as you recall, the partners, I paid for the building for office space, which they currently have, a little bit bigger because they're growing. And then the foundation committed to add money towards programming space. So they achieved their goals and then some, and I don't think they're done yet. So they're going to keep on raising money because there's still one part of the building that's just not going to be remodeled right now. But if they raise the funds, they will for that program. So very, very proud of that one. I was supposed to go on a tour today, and it was canceled for the initial construction, but I will keep you up to date on that, and as soon as we're able to bring other people in, I'll give you guys money for a tour. But as you can see, the renovation details include a participant lounge, and I don't know if any of you have ever gone to an NSSRA building, but the current building is in an industrial zone, so when the buses are dropping off the participants, there's no place for participants to wait for the parents to come pick them up. So this gives them a nice lounge to wait, to gather together, multi-purpose room, a fully accessible kitchen, to teach life skills, libraries, a great room, offices, everything they could ask for to make their programming. That doesn't mean that they're going to stop using the Park District facilities. They still need all those. This is just an addition to give a little more stability in the program. So we're very excited about that. And I put down in my board packet where the money's coming from. So 4.9 is from the partner agencies and the contributions depending on the size of the districts. So like we don't pay the same as Glenview, it's based on population. There was a generous family gift of $1.15 million from the Swatnick family for naming rights, and then an additional NSSRA foundation of $2.2 million for the renovation. And in additional, they just, they've had a capital campaign going for years for this building, so that's another $600,000 that goes. So they're doing very well. And I put the link in my board packet if you want to keep up to date on the progress. Staff did attend the virtual IPRA IAPD conference, and like I think I said at committee, it's kind of nice you can go back and watch the sessions up until March 1st, and a lot of us have been taking advantage of that. I know Commissioner Underdunk attended the conference on behalf of the commissioners, and I know we felt it was very worthwhile also. So, any questions?
Yeah, Lisa, I have one question. The 25% of staff that have received their first vaccine, is that Well, two questions. One, are we requiring the teachers to get a vaccine, or will you? Are we requiring teachers to get vaccines?
Okay, that's a really good question. We actually aren't legally able to require staff to get a vaccine at this point. It received emergency authorization, and so still until it becomes, what's the proper wording, Carol, that it has to become to get, you're on mute.
To go through the full FDA approval process. So they're under the emergency approval, and it's a little bit different status as far as forcing employees to get something that's not been fully tested and vetted throughout the typical FDA process.
Do we force them to get feedback?
DCFS programs are required to do flu vaccines. Yes. Yep. In addition, what we're trying to do is incentivize them. Right now, we have extended the FFCRA, so if they're out for COVID, we have extended the benefit where we pay their salary when they're out. Once we're able to offer everybody the opportunity to get a vaccine, we're not going to extend the FFCRA benefit any longer. So we said we would extend that till March 1st, and then we visited. So I believe that most of the staff will have the opportunity to get the first dose by then. So we'll probably extend it for a couple weeks, but everybody has to do a second dose, then we'll stop that. So that hopefully that will incentivize people to get that. And we're trying to do a lot of education about how safe it is. And
what if you had access, if your staff had access to the vaccine, do you anticipate a 50% vaccination rate, 90% vaccination rate? Like is there, what is the desire for the staff to get vaccinated?
You know, I really can't, I would be remiss to answer that right now. I will give you that number once we have the opportunity, once we presented the opportunity for via vaccine, I will definitely report back with our percentages, but I can't get that to you yet because we haven't given all staff the opportunity that we have scheduled a vaccine for them. Yes. We'll know that probably by next month.
Thank you.
I can't say most of the full-time have done it, so.
So when you say 25% of Kids Club, Children's Circle, and ELC,
ELC
support staff in there too, okay.
Yeah, I think the ELC is almost, although I have had their first vaccine along with Kids Club, I think it's actually 75% have had their vaccine.
And then Children's Circle?
The Children's Circle, because it's such a larger number, I think we're at 25 for there just because we haven't had the opportunity to get them all.
Okay.
For vaccines.
I'll be honest, the 25% number seems low in your executive director report, and I was sort of hoping that, I think the fact that you've got mostly ELC, mostly Kids Club, and Children's Circle going low because of the probably access makes me feel a little bit better. So.
Yeah, and it's so much has changed since I wrote the report. Last week we were able to get on, you know, we found out there was vaccines available, and we had all the management staff and the front desk, 10 of us, on the computers registering Children's Circle teachers that were working, and then put it out to the rest of the Children's Circle. If they saw the email, they were filled within 5 minutes. And then, like this weekend, you know, Chris is great for knowing when they're available. He texted us, we texted out to everybody else, and they can come on. With this partnership with the village and the school district and career, that will allow us to do bigger bulks of staff vaccine. So once that's done, I'll have a better idea of how many have elected not to or have taken it.
Thank you.
The staff that, you know, people can still get COVID even after they're vaccinated, I assume you would still pay those staff if they got sick, right?
Well, if they were vaccinated and got sick,
yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And if you need any help, I've gotten 20 people their shots. I've gotten everyone on my list, so I'm happy to help. Seriously,
thank you. I think I would have taken you off on that last week. I think we're going to be okay now, just based on a phone call I had about an hour before I got on this meeting. I think we're good for next week.
I'll take your help, Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, Carol would definitely take your help.
Yeah, anyone else? Yeah. Josh, Michael, you know? Okay, Matt. Yeah,
believe me, I would love to do in-person meetings again as soon as...
You're I will
help. Carol would take your help, for sure. And Jenny probably, too, right?
I'm going to email you guys for your input.
Yep. Because we're all considered one because we're all working closely. You know, we're in the office working with our participants. I would like to kudos to Chris and Bobby. That Todd Gym looks fantastic. I went down there today, and the teachers are very excited to have that as another programming space. That's obviously outside plays during the minute, so kudos to that. Did you have another question, Michael, besides the vaccine? That was it? Okay.
No, I will double down on something you said before. I think you were talking about one of our lovely colleagues, Anne, who's always smiling at WASP. I'm just going to say for the record, Anne also got me to spend an extra $150 for my kid to join Open Hockey. I don't know how she did that, but she did. And so I am, my kid's college fund, which was unfunded beforehand, is now $150. So, Anne is the upsales woman of the year.
All right, Anne. Good job. I'd like to hear that. She's working there. All right, that's all I have. We can go into action items if there's no other questions.
Okay, then we will move on. Okay, then we will move on to our action items. I entertain a motion to award the contract for replacing one 80-ton air-cooled condenser for $145,000 to Midwest Mechanical of Lombard, Illinois, as presented. Someone move that motion?
I need to move in a second, and then you can have discussion.
Yep.
I did move.
Okay, Stephanie, so moved?
Second.
Michael, second? I'm sorry. Was it Michael? Dudley was second? Okay.
What a chaos.
Can't hear anybody today.
Did we get it? Did we get the move in the second? Okay.
Yes, we did.
So now time for discussion.
Any discussion? Chris, do you want to talk about the items we talked about earlier today?
Sure. I just wanted to highlight the fact that this new unit has some significant sustainability components that we didn't have previously. The new unit's going to be running on R410, which is a new Freon. It's significantly more environmentally friendly. We expect to capture some energy savings in the unit. Train designs the units to be have as few moving pieces as possible, so that lowers energy consumption. In addition, we're going to be reusing the static components inside the building. So basically, we're replacing the condenser that's out on the roof and the elements. And inside the building, we're removing the moving parts from our existing air handler cabinets. We're reusing the cabinets, the pipes, the wiring. So we're really doing a great job in being judicious and not throwing stuff away that we can get some additional use out of and, save ourselves some money in that way. So I'm excited to move forward with this. This is the first of three replacements over the next 3 years, and this is one of those units that never makes you feel good when you go up there and there's a problem with it, because it provides heating and cooling to Children's Circle and GJK. So it's one of those units that is never allowed to fail. So that's why we prioritize it first.
Great.
Yeah, Dudley had some questions about it. So Dudley, you're satisfied?
Yes. They did some research on the project, and it's a definite improvement to our sustainability portfolio.
Great.
And it saves money.
I hear that.
All good.
And purchasing it from the co-op as well has saved the Park District money as well.
When is installation of this?
That'll be in August during the shutdown.
Perfect.
Any concerns that you'll have a difficult summer with what you have now?
To be honest with you, I can't. It's likely to be out of service for longer than the 5 days of the shutdown, probably 7 or 8 days. And I'm just not comfortable shutting the air circulating unit off while COVID is still where it's at right now. So by pushing it out into August, if we need to, we can open the windows and ventilate the classrooms and keep that air movement in a place that it needs to be. We do actually have supplementary cooling units left over from the renovation that we could put in place, because that week after the shutdown, it's basically just children's circle, so it's 5 to 7 classrooms. So if we need to provide supplemental cooling, we can do that. I'm confident that we can make it through the summer. The unit is under our full coverage plan with our provider, so you know, we do have like a foundation to keep it running, and it benefits them to keep it running as well, because they don't want to see an expensive repair that they have to pay for out of our all-included contract a month before they take it out.
Good. Anything else for Chris? Okay, if no further discussion, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Sorry. Yep.
Commissioner Colby?
Approve.
Commissioner Ludden?
Staff, we can't hear you.
I think your microphone's off.
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Did you get Dudley?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, so very good. Motion passes. And we will move on to other business. Lisa, do you have anything for this?
This is for the overlook?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess I'm in a hurry to get out of here. Sorry. I entertain a motion to approve the lowest responsible bidder, Alliance Contractors Woodstock, Illinois, for a total of $159,608.50 as presented.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion on this?
Chris, you mentioned last time or in an earlier meeting that you were particularly happy with the performance of the contractor on the North Overlook.
Correct.
Did they bid on this? Is this the same one? Did they not bid?
They did bid. They were the second bid. So because they came in as the second bid and we had a good experience with them, I did a really deep dive into Alliance's background, so I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be, you know, recommending a contractor for, you know, less than 10% that was going to cause us a problem, and Alliance had great references in the municipal sector, so I'm comfortable recommending them to do the job over Martin.
Okay.
Can you ask Martin to match it, or is that not done?
That can't be done.
Can't do it.
And do you have to go with the lowest bid?
Well, we typically advertise the lowest qualified bidder. So we would have to find a reason why they weren't qualified. They can't do the work, they have bad references, they're financially a mess. Alliance is a great company, they're well known in the municipal sector. To be honest with you, the Connect Lenco project and the IDOT bid process has really put us on the radar of companies that we weren't working with before. So we're starting to see more like roadway companies taking our work, which has really tightened up some of our bids. So it's been very beneficial.
Were the bids about what you expected, by the way, Chris?
Well, I mean, if I could do that job for $263,000, I would just hire Martin and make $70,000 on the job. So I would imagine Copenhaver had a blown bid. We were expecting somewhere between 175 to 180. We had stuck the budget around 175 as a placeholder. So we did manage the scope, obviously, to ensure that it kind of fell within that budget. We knew what we needed to do. So the numbers came in a place that I feel good about them.
Look, if Alliance has a party reputation and, you know, work with government agencies and you guys feel comfortable, I think it makes sense to obviously go with them, and I absolutely make sense to keep the budget where it is, because who knows if they're going to find something else up there or have to rewire something, so.
Oh, there's always a problem. I mean, it never comes in at what it is. The thing about it is, Michael, our budget is a matter of public record.
Right.
These contractors know what we've budgeted. So they come in and they bid a project a certain way, and, you know, you always find something, like you said.
I'm hoping they don't. But anyway, it's good. Just out of curiosity, has Alliance worked in Highland Park before? Or
you know, I spoke at great length with a colleague of mine, the village engineer in Oak Park, and
okay.
He's done some significant work there, somebody that I had a personal connection with who wasn't actually on their reference list. So I called somebody who wasn't on their list.
Thank you.
That's great.
Well done. Thank you, Chris. Okay. then, if nothing else, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren. Commissioner Covey. Commissioner Ludden.
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk.
Yes.
President Brooks.
Yes. Motion passes. So now, Lisa, do you have any other business?
I do not.
Okay, so obviously we are going to enter into executive session. Lisa, I have a question for you. This motion brings you into executive session. Is that to talk about...
There's a land lease that I have to talk about first, and then I will leave.
And then you'll leave.
For the personnel item, yes.
Okay, very good. So the board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter closed session to discuss personnel and lease as mandated by Section 2.06, 5 ILCS 120/2, C, 1, and 5. Those present during an executive session will include all commissioners and Lisa Shepherd. Someone move that? Second?
Underdone?
Second.
You second that?
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. So, note, Lisa, note the time and do a roll call vote, please.
Okay. It's 8:17. Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdone?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. So that's what my thing says.
Okay, so we're back in open session. So it is 9:51 p.m. And let's do commissioners. Boren.
Yeah.
Covey. Yep. Lutton.
Yes.
Everyone's sleeping. Underdonk.
Yes.
And President Brooks.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so now... All right, so I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Jenny, roll call vote, please.
All right, Commissioners Boren.
Yeah.
Covey.
Yeah.
Lutton.
Yes.
Underdonk.
Yes.
President Brooks.
Yes. Motion passes. Meeting adjourned.
All right, it is 9:52.
Good night, everybody.